I apologize to anybody who came to church today expecting to work on their tan out in the... you'll be able to do that after the service if you want, if you really want. Has it been hot enough for us? I thought we were going to be indoors with air conditioning. I even wore a long sleeve shirt today. I was so confident that it would be much nicer in here. Not this time. Did anybody have a tree or a big branch fall on their house last night? That was crazy in Santa Cruz. I just driving up the valley on the way here this morning, I saw all the limbs down and the rubbish in the street. I bet that was woke up some of the kids in the night. I was struck by the hymn that was sung just before the Trisagion that ended, "Thou hast filled all things with joy, for thou camest to save the world." In this time in which the drumbeat of secular news media and the scientific or non-scientific arguments about COVID and what it's doing to us seem to drain us of joy, or at least make it tougher to experience joy, it really behooves us to focus on joy. When we come here, we come with a tremendous privilege. Yes, it is solemn. Yes, it is holy. Yes, we must repent of our sins. But what a privilege to do that and to be received into the presence of God and to even become more one with each other. I was struck as I prepared on the gospel this week with how desperate the people in the gospel seemed. There was a desperate child who's consumed by a demon, always seeking to destroy him. Can you imagine a childhood, not an idyllic childhood that we maybe experienced from time to time as kids and certainly wanted for our own children, but one where you never knew when the demon was going to explode within you and destroy you or try. There was a desperate father, and I bet a mother too, who had exhausted themselves trying to protect their son and trying to find a cure for him. How worn out they must have been. How tortured the mom especially, although she's not mentioned. And then there were desperate disciples in the story too, weren't there? The man came wanting healing for his son, but he didn't dare to quite go up to Jesus and grab him. And so he tried to go around the side and see if he could just go to a lower level of help and get the disciples. And they were desperate because they couldn't do anything. How come we couldn't? This story appears in all three Gospels. When we see a story that appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, we sit up and take notice. And of course, it's in the lectionary during the year. And so we take notice for that reason too. What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us in our time and place? This is the Sunday between the farewell to our former pastor and the reception of our new pastor. Why would this Sunday fall right in, this reading fall right in the perfect gap in between the two? I think there are four very memorable quotes from these gospel stories that make four very important points, at least one of which will hit each one of us, or in my case, all four. The first of the memorable issues, or the memorable teachings and quotes, is that faith is the issue. In Mark 9:23, Jesus says to the Father, "If you believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes." When we've been Christians in one place together for a long time, we fall into habits of life and thought, some of which may not be characterized by the saying, "Everything is possible to those who believe." We get stuck in ruts, don't we? We even put straitjackets on ourselves or on other people. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're not stuck in any straitjacket. Everything's possible to those who believe. Second thing the Holy Spirit is telling us today is honesty, and radical honesty, is necessary for great divine interventions. The father comes to Jesus in tears, Mark reports. Matthew and Luke don't say anything about tears, but they sure imply it, don't they? Mark comes right out and says it. The father was in tears. And he's heard Jesus say, everything's possible if you believe. But he knows he doesn't believe nearly enough. And what does he say? I love it. He says to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but what? Help me with my unbelief. Now, isn't that radical honesty? How many Christians come to churches? Baptist, Catholic, Orthodox, Mormon, whatever. How many people come to these churches and say to themselves every Sunday, oh, I believe. And how many say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. This is the second, the radical honesty that faces the fact that we maybe believe in the Giants and the 49ers or the economy or politics or this position or that on COVID more than we believe in the power of God. The man was honest that he had a problem that could not be solved any other way, that he was weak, the disciples had blown it, and his only hope was Christ. Point number three, the Holy Spirit wants to tell us that there are mountains that need moving. In the early days of this church, back in the 70s, when there was all this optimism going around in society and the tides of revolution and, you know, the Jesus movement and so forth were ebbing and flowing across the landscape, we thought that there was a cheap way to move mountains. Get a charismatic leader, sing lots of nice songs and guitars and all of those things that people were doing in the 70s, I can remember. But that didn't move the mountains that needed moving, did it? We were going to bring America to Orthodox. Remember that? That slogan, we're going to bring America to orthodoxy. The moving of the mountains that needed moving, were not bringing America to orthodoxy. It was bringing the Holy Spirit of God and orthodoxy into my heart or yours. We didn't necessarily get that done, did we? We worshiped our community, or at least we had far greater pride in ourselves as a church than we should have, and then there was a big crash, a schism. The mountains that needed moving were the mountains inside of us. And in Matthew 17:20, the memorable quote is, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, I look around the parish at people I've known for 30, 40 or more years, and you know what I think we know about each other? I think we know that all the easy repenting and all the easy changing has gotten done. It's only the hard stuff that's left. The moving of mountains. The mountains of pride, of fear, having to have our own way. Yikes. And then the fourth point that the Holy Spirit wants to make to us today. This kind, the kind that stick with us, that I repented of stealing a long time ago. As a little kid, that one was easy. It's the hard ones. And they only come out, point four, by prayer and fasting. This is the Orthodox way. It's not only for my salvation, I'm going to die one of these days. It's for the salvation of our children, of our beloved spouses and family members, the salvation of one another and the community around us that we've grown to love during our years here. So there are these four memorable quotes. In Mark 9:23, if you believe, all things are possible. Mark 9:24, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. The moving of mountains, if we have faith the size of that little mustard seed, to move the mountains in ourselves that still need moving. And then fourth, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. It doesn't come by bringing a new priest in. It doesn't come by having a bishop visit. It doesn't come by getting the right speaker or the right parish council system or any of those things that we are having more money. Any of the things that the world might try to suggest. Getting the right candidates elected. The right policies on this and that. It only comes, the things that need to come out of us come out slowly, with faith, with radical honesty, by prayer and fasting. As we look forward to Father Christopher's arrival, and it's going to be a joyful time for a long time. You know, we always talk among priests about a honeymoon period. And believe me, it will be easy to have a honeymoon period with people like this. I am absolutely convinced. But as we look forward to their arrival, let's commit ourselves to these four things that the Holy Spirit is teaching us. That faith is the issue in our hearts and lives. That radical honesty about our own faith with ourselves. Lord, I believe. I have to say it into the mirror. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Third, the mountains that need moving are not the mountains inside you or you or you. Or they're the mountains inside me. Those are the ones that need moving. And they're only going to happen by prayer and fasting. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, may it be so. Amen.